good morning. I want to add my welcome to everybody in this room and in the West Room and in the chapel as well. So, you know this couple, Matthew and Lizzie Bailey. They have been in the FaithBridge system for the better part of 18 years now, leading us in worship and closer to the Lord. And we've grown up together and we've watched their kids, five of them, grow up and be leading up here as well. And we couldn't be more grateful for that. So I guess it was about 8 months ago, Lizzie pulled me aside and said, I just want to talk with you about something that God's kind of doing inside of me. And I said, okay, well, what is it? She says, I don't know. And I said, okay, so he's stirring something, but we don't know what it is. And she said, yep, I think it's about as far as I can, but I have a feeling that there's something coming. I said, well, thank you for bringing me in the loop this early, because around here on our staff, we talk about finishing strong, and part of a best finish, a finish strong, is a long runway so that we can have plenty of time to sort of move things into place so that things are smooth. So in those coming months, we brought Anna Cowper-Smith back on staff full-time as our worship assistant. Now, that was 8 months ago. In the ensuing months, Lizzie had clarity and said that she wanted to start working on her master's degree in counseling. So she's working to become an LPC counselor like her husband is. And secondly, their eldest of five, Ezra, who many of you know and has led us many times, along with his wife, Joni, they had baby Oliver, and then they moved to New Mexico. And so that means that their only grandchild is a long ways away, and they're homesick for the grandchild. Add to that, they said to me, this was around January, we kind of have a dream of living in the mountains of Colorado. Snow-capped peaks, and I said, yeah, we don't have any of those here in Houston. And so I said, so it sounds like you're going to maybe start migrating that way. They said, yeah, it'd probably be 3 hours from Ezra and baby Oliver and just sort of a new deal. And we're down to just one living in the home. That's Daisy, who's in high school. And I said, all right, so what does this mean? They said, well, we're listing our house in Memorial Northwest, which is a wonderful house that holds seven people. And if you would like to know more about that house, you come and talk to them. So why am I telling you all this today? Because nothing immediately is going to happen, imminently it is, but we wanted you to know several things. First, today is the last Sunday that Lizzie will be our worship pastor. This week, Anna will slide in. They'll switch seats. Anna will become the worship pastor. Now, practically, you won't feel a difference because she'll still be leading. He'll still be leading next Sunday and the next and for the next several months. But we figured this was a good time to mark a moment because I foresaw something coming much past this Sunday. We were going to get into some busy Sundays. You got Mother's Day coming, and then we have the seniors graduating coming across the stage, and then we got the road, the youth missions, all the kids were sending off, and then we got Vacation Bible School. And so I just said, how about when we have the whole family here together with no other things going on, I just want to honor the Baileys and thank them for all of these years. The good news is, like I said, they'll continue to be here for the ensuing months. And then even after moving, they've said, we're happy to fly back any Sundays that any of the three stages need a worship leader. And so we're grateful that airplanes fly frequently from Colorado to Houston. Now, with all of that in your hearts and in your minds, would you join me in saying a heartfelt thank you to the Baileys for all of these years of leadership? Come here. Hold it. No, go ahead. Go ahead and stand up. In the other rooms, you can sit down, but I want you to hold out your hands in all three rooms, and let's bless them, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you for these two, for their five kids, for their grandson, for Joni, married to Ezra. Lord, thank you for the fun of growing together all these years and watching FaithBridge grow, and thank you for the last 4 or 5 years when Lizzie officially slid into the head worship pastor role, and for how well she has led us, Matthew as well, really probably one of the finest seasons that we've ever had here in worship. Thanks, God, for the things that you've been stirring within them, for new possibilities, new excitement she's feeling about the realm of counseling and the mountains and being closer to baby Oliver and the possibilities of that. Thanks, God, for plenty of advance notice so that we could start moving things around and have a seamless transition whenever that time comes. And Lord, we just want to pray your blessings upon them now, that you'll make their path straight. You say, if we trust in you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, we acknowledge you, you'll make our path straight. So once you make their path straight, you take care of them and put your blessings upon them in the coming weeks and months and years. And we say thank you for them, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. One more big hand for them.
Thank you. Love you.
Yeah, love you. Thank you. Watch out, watch out.
Oh, man. You know, there's pastors leave churches all the time, but it rarely is as healthy as what you just saw. And I just tell you that because Matthew and Lizzie, y'all are just amazing, amazing people. And it's a great example of how God leads us. He leads us corporately, but he also leads us individually. And God may lead you someday to make a courageous step and do something bold. And then the fact that Pastor Ken just leads FaithBridge with such open-handedness, a lot of pastors get real offended and, oh, take it personal. And the fact that he can be so open-handed is just remarkable. So I say all that to say, if you're here today and maybe you came Easter Sunday and you're kind of looking for a church, you're kicking the tires on FaithBridge, you try to see, is this the kind of place? There are no perfect people here, but there is a lot of really health, great health that happens here. And so I just want to tell you, there aren't many better churches in the world than FaithBridge. And I feel so grateful to get to be a part of it. The other thing that's remarkable is I see you all everywhere. Just this week, I was speaking at this conference for, they were a bunch of chief information officers, CIOs. And I saw one of you there, Josh, good to see you again. But Josh came and said, hey, I go to FaithBridge. I said, oh, that's so great. And then I was in, my wife and I took our five kids to, we went on a cruise with our in-laws, my in-laws, out of Galveston. We were in the jungles of Belize. We were supposed to be doing some cave tubing, and we had gone on this hike, and we get to the river. We were supposed to put our tube in, and the guide turns around to about a group of 30 of us and said, I am so sorry, we do not have any tubes. And I was like, well, that's going to make cave tubing really challenging. And then out of nowhere, seven tubes show up. And they said, do we have a group of seven? And I'm like, you know, my wife, me, our five children, that's seven. I was like, ooh, and our kids are looking at me being like, Dad, hurry up, raise your hand, you know? So I was like, oh, we, and then somebody else jumped on it first. And then another group came in, a group of tubes. And then I was like, oh, here's another opportunity. And I felt like I was feeling the pressure from our children being like, do something, Dad, quit being so passive, you know? And I'm like, shut up, now's not the time, right? I didn't say that. That's what I was thinking. And I was about to lose my temper and make a scene, which I have done before in my life. Fortunately, I did not. And right after, eventually they found more tubes and we do the thing and we're getting out of the river and someone goes, hey, we got a FaithBridge. And they were watching the whole time. And I was like, oh boy, this is just a good lesson that if you always feel like somebody's watching, it's because they might be, you know, they might be. So you guys are, it's so fun to see you all in different places. If you're ever in the jungles in Belize, watch out. You'll see people there, you know, that's for sure. We're in Joshua. If you got a Bible, would love for you to turn there. We're going to talk about Joshua today. We're going to talk about Rahab next week. If you need a Bible, if you don't have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, yeah, just raise your hand up in the air. And any of our venues, they'd love to just give you one of those. It'll be our treat. You can leave it in your seat or you can take it home with you as a gift from us. But we're going to be in Joshua 3. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. Here's what I'm so excited about talking about today. Today, we're going to talk about those moments of life that feels like moments of darkness, a moment of dark, right? Where you feel like, where is God? Is he even present? And I've been around long enough to know that there's probably some people here today that feel like you're in a moment like that, where you just can't see. You can't see, is God here? Is God with me? I can't see what's on the other side. And that's a really challenging place to be. There's also, we all know that there are moments of light, right? There are moments where you see God and you see his hand. And last Sunday was such a spectacular moment to get to see so many people put their faith in Jesus. And that's a real moment of light for us. But you've had personal moments of light, right? Where maybe you almost got in an accident and you didn't, or you got a health diagnosis, but then God came through, or maybe you're sitting by someone that represents a moment of light. I see we have a lot of people sitting here with your significant other, and some of you look like you're in love, and some of you look like you're tolerating each other. And it's understandable because we've all been there, right? But maybe, just maybe, that child that was born, or the grandchild that was born, or the situation where you just didn't think God was going to come through, and then he came through, right? What happens, though, this is where I want to talk about both of these moments, because what happens oftentimes is, in the same way God shows up during those moments of light, sometimes in the moments of those dark moments of life, we wonder where he is, and we forget about all the times that he did show up, right? And God knows that. God knows that our tendency is to doubt in the dark the very thing that we learned in the light. He knows that about us. In fact, this is the story of Joshua, that Joshua is leading God's people into the promised land. And he's leading them out of the wilderness, out of the desert. How did they even get into the desert? Well, we studied this months ago when we walked through Exodus, right? That Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And God granted the wish. Pharaoh granted the wish. And God led his people through Moses out of Egypt into freedom. But they had to go through the wilderness. And it wasn't long in the wilderness that they forgot about all that God had done. I don't know if you remember this. There's a moment where they're sitting around griping and complaining, so miserable, so frustrated. This is not where we want to be. This is not what we hope for. And some of them, the author tells us, that some of them looked at each other and go, wasn't it better when we were back in slavery? At least then we sat around, we had pots of meat. We had enough to eat. We had different things to eat. There was a little bit of variety. It wasn't exactly the Cheesecake Factory, but it wasn't this, what do we even call it now? You know what they called it? What God provided for them to eat? Manna, which, you know what the word manna actually means? It means, what is it? Which I think is, some of you are like, I thought that's what spam meant. No, it's basically them saying, we don't even know what it is. But it just shows up every morning. But it's a little bit, I don't know. It's just the same every day. And we're kind of bored with it, right? And so they just looked around and they go, what, wasn't it better back then? And they forgot. They were in the dark. They couldn't see God. They couldn't see his activity. They couldn't see where they were going. They couldn't see what was coming up next. And they started to doubt, right? And there's nothing wrong with doubting. We all have seasons of doubt. We all have moments of doubt. But I'm sure if you're God, I'm sure it gets a little old. You get a little tired of going, how have you already forgotten? In fact, we rarely remember what God did in the light. But we never forget what God didn't do in the dark, right? Yeah, we forget sometimes all that he did in the light, but when we're in the dark, well, we don't forget that. We always remember, no, it was cold, it was desolate. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know where we were headed. And we were just sitting around wondering, where is God? Today's a huge day. Today's a big moment for every single one of us. Because what I hope that God does in us is I hope that God reminds us that the light, those moments of light, can bring hope into the dark. And so if that's you today, if you are in a season of darkness, we just want to let you know that not only are we with you, but we believe God is with you. And even more than that, we believe God has something to say to us about those moments in the dark, that the light can bring hope into the darkness. But as we're going to learn through Joshua today, only when we choose to remember, only when we choose to remember what actually happened in the light, we are so quick to forget. And God tells Joshua, I'm tired of you all forgetting. So I want you to create a reminder, a memorial, a sign. Here's the way it happens. This is in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. This is about in the middle of the chapter of Joshua chapter 3. And the way the author tells us, he's really giving us a lot of history here, because he tells us that the Jordan River is at flood stage all during harvest, which historians have told us that is accurate, that is true, that there were seasons where the Jordan River would flood. It would get really big, it would get huge, it would get swole, and they were walking through this area, a couple of million people, traveling through this area, and they get to the Jordan River, and they all look at Joshua, and they go, we thought Moses was bad with directions. Joshua, what are you doing? How are we going to get across this river? And for those of you that played Oregon Trail as a kid, like I did, you know that your options are limited. You can't really go around it. You can ford the river, whatever that means, right? But you probably can't walk through it because it was probably too deep to walk through it. Yet, the author tells us, as soon as the priests, this is a big part of the procession, but as soon as the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they were carrying this monument, they were carrying this, it was a physical representation of an invisible God. They're carrying this, and as soon as they reach the edge of the Jordan, their feet touch the water's edge, and the water from upstream, it stopped flowing. And it piled up into a heap a great distance away. And he tells us exactly where it piled up. It piled up at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. And while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, it was completely cut off. So now all of a sudden, you have this opportunity to pass across the swollen, but now barren Jordan River. And so the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, you're going, wait a second. I've seen The Prince of Egypt. I remember the movie. Or maybe you remember from a couple of months ago when we studied something that happened just previous to this. Does this sound familiar? Yeah, this is exactly what happened when Moses is fleeing from Pharaoh and he gets to the Red Sea. And as long as he held up his staff, God parted the waters and the people were able to cross. Again, this wasn't the first time that God had even done this. This is so rare for God to do the same miracle twice. But what is not rare is how quickly we are to forget that God had ever come through before. And I'm sure there were men and women who had heard stories. Some of the older ones may have even been alive then, but there were plenty of them that had heard their grandparents tell the story to their parents, tell the story to them as kids about the moment when Moses reached the Red Sea and everybody looked around going, Pharaoh and his people are getting close. What are we gonna do? And Moses goes, I don't know. I'm really nervous, but I'm hoping God will provide. And then God provided. And everybody goes, oh my goodness, how great is our God that he provided. But they forgot. And I'm sure there are plenty of people that even in that moment, they get to the Jordan and they go, well, this is impossible for God. God's met his match. God can't do anything about this. God goes, no, we're not going to do that anymore. I want you to remember. I want you to have a way to remember. The priests, verse 17 says, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they stopped in the middle of the Jordan and they stood on dry ground. How great is God? Another moment for him to just say, I am more powerful than anyone, anything, any imaginable thought that you could have. I am more powerful. And while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And there were probably some of them, just like us, that immediately took for granted the very thing that they had once hoped for. Have you noticed how we do that? That we are all so quick to take for granted what we have. As soon as we forget that the thing we have was the thing we once hoped for. Some of you are sitting by that person right now. Do you remember the season of your life? You were single and you thought, oh, all I want to do is be able to sing Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, to someone. And now you have that person. And we take it for granted. Or maybe you're married and all you wanted was to be able to have kids. And now you have kids. And all you're hoping for is to get those kids out of here, right? Or there was a job that you were hoping. Do you remember the day? Can you think back at the time in your life? I remember being right out of college thinking, how am I ever going to have a job? The thought of getting paid every 2 weeks consistently seemed like a pipe dream. I just thought, there's no way that will ever happen. Some of you now, you're in a job that was a dream for you at one point in your life. Some of you are living in a house, or you're living in an apartment, or you're driving a car. The very thing that you once hoped for, we just forget. We're so quick to forget. And then all of a sudden, now here we are taking it for granted. And God says, enough, 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 enough. I've seen this movie before. I've read this book before. I'm done with this. Let's not do this anymore. I've told you this before, but my wife and I, we met in seminary, and so we love a good Bible joke. And we used to joke when our kids were real little, because they would cry. They would, when it was dinner time, and we'd be like making their food, you know, heating up the stuff or getting it ready, and they would lose their mind like they'd never eaten before. They would lose their mind like they were like, it is so like y'all for us to miss a meal. What are we gonna do? Are we gonna eat this one or are we gonna not, you know? And we're looking at them going, you have never missed a meal your entire life. Praise God that we have been able to provide food for you your whole life. Also, we're not the worst parents on the planet, okay? We have provided some things for you in your life, but right now you're acting like it's a 50-50 shot with these weasels. Who knows if they'll provide? Who knows if they'll come through? And they're looking at each other, losing their minds, right? You can imagine kids doing this. And so we met in seminary, and so we love a good Bible joke. And so we would look at each other and wink, you know, and go, these Israelites. We loved it, right? It was just our little fun way of making a joke. But this is what we're referring to, is God looking at these people going, you are so quick to forget. All the times in your life that I have come through. And I don't think God is mad about it. God is patient. God is kind. When we doubt, I don't think God is rolling his eyes. You know that emoji with the hand over the face? I don't think that's God. I don't think he's looking at us going like, what is your problem? He's loving. He's kind. He's patient. He's gracious. But if you were God, if I were God, I'd be like, again, really? Because it's annoying to be taken for granted, right? It's annoying for you at time after time to come through, provide, be faithful, show up, be consistent. And then people wonder like, I don't know, we can't really trust him. So God goes, we're not gonna do that anymore. So chapter 4 comes and God goes, Joshua, we're gonna do something different this time. See, I've already done the parting of the water miracle and people forgot. So this time, new plan. Verse 1, chapter 4, the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, and the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones. They don't have to each get 12 stones. Each of the 12 of them just have to get one stone from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and they're to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. And so Joshua said, God, you got it. I'm gonna do just that. And so Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over to the ark of the Lord, your God, in the middle of the Jordan. And each of you is to take up a stone on his, what's the word? Now, come on, read that. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder? People, I don't know what you were thinking. Some of you have kind of heard about this story before, and you know they're building what in the Old Testament we call an Ebenezer, a memorial of God, something to remember his faithfulness, a sign from God. And whenever I thought about it, I thought these were little stones, like the size of the stones that I envisioned David putting in his pouch when he killed Goliath, right? A stone that you might skip across a creek. No, put it up on your shoulder. Hoist it up on your shoulder. That is not a stone, my friend. That is a boulder, right? Like, this was serious. God was not playing around. God was like, I mean something with some girth, something with some weight. I mean, I need like something that you wouldn't be able to check at the airport. Like, I need something significant. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israel. And this will serve as a sign among you. What does a sign do? A sign points to something. Or in this case, a sign points to someone. And I love this next little verse. Verse 6 says, and so in the future, when your children ask you, and if you've ever been around children, you know they will ask. They will say to you, what do these stones mean? You're gonna tell them what these stones mean. Why? Because God doesn't want you to doubt in the dark the very thing you learned in the light. God wants you to remember in the dark. Yes, you're gonna be tempted to doubt. Yes, you're gonna wonder where he is. Yes, you're gonna be staring at your circumstances going, there's no way this could end good. There's no way God could bring something good out of this. There's no way God's gonna come through. And I want these signs to be a memorial. I want them to be a sign that points to the faithfulness of God, that he's come through before and he can come through again. He might do it in a different way because he's a creative God, but he is a faithful God. And he's a God that you can trust. He is a God that does not write checks that he cannot cash. He's a God who's never bounced a check. He's good. And he's faithful. And he's trustworthy. So when they ask you, what do these stones mean? You tell them. You say, oh, these stones here that are significantly large stones, they're more like boulders, truthfully. These stones, they remind us that there was a day where the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordans, the water of the Jordan, it was cut off. And these stones are a memorial to the people of Israel forever that our God can be trusted. And so the Israelites did just as Joshua commanded. They did it. God told Joshua, Joshua told them, and they did it. Now, I don't know about you, but if God had held up these waters, and I'm watching it, going, wow, there's like a wall of water. That's not supposed to happen. This is crazy. God is amazing. And you're like, you know, I'm sure some of you are like, you think it's good? You think it's fine? Okay, I'm gonna go. And then you like sprinted, you know, like you were playing, you know, a game of Frogger or something. And you're like, I gotta get across. And you made it, and then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, weren't you the elected leader of the tribe? Yeah, you. Or appointed leader of the tribe? Yeah, you. Yeah, you're supposed to go back in. You'd be like, I don't really want to go back in, because we already are across. That was the whole point of it. It's like, no, there's something deeper, something more significant that God's doing here. No, God wants us to remember. He wants us to remember his faithfulness. See, this is why this is so relevant for us today, because I believe that God has something for you and for me today, that God loves when we remember what he did for us in the light, because it provides hope when you find yourself in the dark. And so what is that for you? Today we're gonna be real practical. Today the whole message is, yes, God can be trusted. Yes, God is faithful. Yes, God is amazing. Yes, God led his people through Joshua, and God is leading his people still today. But the message is real practical, real specific. I don't want you to just remember. I want to encourage you to memorialize what God did in the light so you can point to what he can do in the dark. I want you to make a memorial. For some of you, you're going to get real, you're going to get just very literal about this. And you're going to go find a huge boulder. And you're going to be like, that's our memorial. That reminds us that our God can be trusted. But for others of you, you might not need a boulder, because I don't believe it has to be a boulder. You don't have to hoist it up onto your shoulder. No, I brought some other options for you where I'm going to put them up on the screen. Here they are. Maybe it's a place, right? Maybe you memorialize a place. I mean, this is what we do at a grave, right? Is we're memorializing this person. And so maybe you need to pick a place. Maybe there was a moment, a particular point on the map where God spared you, or God led you, or God came through for you. I want you to memorialize it. Be creative, but be specific. Be aware that you're going to be tempted to forget. Maybe for some of you, it's going to be a journal. Maybe you need to write it down. Maybe you say, you know what? I know it's crazy to think. I mean, what just happened? We will never forget it. But I'm going to write down the specifics of it. Because I want to remember, I want to be able to remember the details of how God came through. Maybe it's a verse. I got in a debate over spring break with some people, or we went on a trip over spring break with some other families, and we got in a debate with some of the adults about tattoos. I was like, I thought we were past this as a society, but they were still on the no tattoo side, which I don't want to get into the ethics or the theology of tattoos, but hey, do you know anyone who has a tattoo, a Bible verse tattoo? Maybe, if you have one, does anybody here have one? You got a Bible verse tattoo? Yeah. Wouldn't you say that's a pretty significant memorial? I mean, to me, that's kind of amazing, you know, that somebody would go, no, I want so badly to not forget that I'm not just going to write it with a Sharpie. I'm going to get it permanently imprinted onto my skin. That's significant. I'm not encouraging that necessarily. I'm just saying that might be an option, but maybe you have another verse. Maybe there's some other kind of particular verse that is your verse, and maybe you're more of a crochet person. Maybe you're like, I'm not a tattoo person. I'm a crocheter. That's fine. Maybe for some of you, You want to do it in some other different way. Maybe you need to get it put on the wall in your house. Something, I don't know. But make a memorial. Don't allow that same thing to happen again that you forget. What about a song, right? You know, Taylor Swift, she said, our song is a slamming screen door, you know? That's what she's doing there, is she's going like, I want to memorialize that our relationship, and we don't really have a song, you know? And he's like, I don't know, feels like we ought to have a song. And she's like, no, we do have a song. Our song is the slamming screen door and sneaking out late and, you know, whatever else it says in that song, right? But maybe you have a song. Maybe it's a great is thy faithfulness, or maybe it's how great thou art, or maybe it's some other song like Firm Foundation, or maybe it's the gratitude, or whatever the song is that you go, that was the song that was playing in the background of our life. And whenever that song comes on, we're going to remember God's faithfulness. Maybe it's a person, right? Maybe you need to make a box out of it. Maybe you need to pick an item. I don't know what it is. For some of you, maybe it is the cross, right? I mean, this is what the cross now is. I mean, this is a sign of Roman execution. This is a sign of Roman brutality. And somebody might ask you, why do you wear it around your neck? Why do you have it hanging in your house? And you say, because it's more than a sign. It points to the fact that God loves me so much that he would allow his son to go to the cross for me. When our kids put their faith in Jesus, I have to credit my wife for this. This is not my idea. This is all her idea and her execution of the idea. Some of you might ask, what part do you play in it? Very little, very, very little. But when our kids put their faith in Jesus, and we're so grateful, all five of them have, and within the week or so afterwards, she takes them to a little pottery store, and they paint a cross, and they put the date of it on the back of the cross. And some of them have it displayed right next to some place that they see every day in their room. And I just got to think that there's going to come a day when they're going to doubt. There's going to come a day where they're going to wonder, God, can you really be trusted? And I'm so grateful that she decided to say, you know what? No, we're going to memorialize this moment because I want you to never forget that the Almighty God knows your name. And the Almighty God calls you son, calls you daughter. That God, despite whatever it is that you're going through, despite whatever it is that you're in the middle of, that God can be trusted. So I'd love it if you'd pray with me today. And we're going to pray that God would give us the wisdom to know how to do this. But we're going to also pray that God would give us the courage to actually follow through and memorialize his faithfulness so we don't forget what he did in the light, even when we're in the middle of the darkness. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would give us the courage to do that. God, give us the wisdom to know how. For somebody here today, they're in the middle of a dark season and they're just going, I just need you to show up. And God, maybe it's just a matter of them thinking through all the times in their life when you have proved to be faithful. But God, for others, they're in a season of light right now. And I pray that they would record this. I pray that they would find a way to memorialize it. Because we're all tempted to forget. But you are a God who says, despite the circumstances, despite what's stacked against me, I can come through. Not in the same way every time. Sometimes in a way that you can't even see. Sometimes in a way that I realized later was protection. Sometimes in a way that felt like I didn't come through, but in the end I really did because you have no idea what I was saving you from. But you are a God who is good and you are a God who is true. And I pray that today would be a day not only where we remember that, but today would be a day where we memorialize your presence in our life, your faithfulness in our life, so that when we're tempted to forget, we'll be able to remember. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his power. Thank you for defeating death. Thank you for not counting our sins against us, but for freedom, for forgiveness, for eternal life with you. We're grateful. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.